I want to look at 2 Corinthians for just a second, and I want to take a verse out of there and give a few comments on it. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, in verse 12, it says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves." And I really want you to notice this last part. It says, "But they, measuring themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." Now, I like the things in the Bible that tell me and tell you that this is wise and this is not wise. This is foolish and this is not foolish, and so on and so forth. Because there are things that as I've told you before, there are things in the Bible that may not necessarily fall under right and wrong, but they fall under wise and foolish. And here it says there's something that we can do that it is not wise for us to do that. And there's two categories of people here that is mentioned. And one of them, it says there are people that measure themselves by themselves. And so to me, that paints a picture of a person whose measuring rod for how they are doing, let's just say in a spiritual sense, how they are doing, that measuring rod is created by themselves. And in a sense, instead of having God's word as their standard, they write their own laws and they compare their own life to those particular laws that they have written in their mind. Does that make sense? In a sense, you could say it this way. They have made themselves their own God. What does that look like? Well, that looks like somebody that says, "Well, I know that the Bible says that lying is wrong, but I think it's okay to lie if it helps you make a dollar." Okay? What have they done? They have rewritten a law there, and they compare themselves not to God's law, but to the law that they've written. And listen, that happens, that's rampant. That's rampant. How do I know that? Well, number one, we've got people that are professing to be Christians all across this nation that will look you square in the eye and tell you that homosexuality is not a sin. So what have they done there? They've rewritten something, and they come when they look in the mirror and say, "How am I doing spiritually?" They look at not God's law, they look at their own law. And maybe it is some sort of perversion of God's law. Maybe in places it mirrors God's law, because that's how crafty the devil is. Is he doesn't come at you with a pitchfork and horns. He comes at you in just a slightly skewed image of God. And you think all the while you're serving God, when really what you're serving is yourself. And so that's one group of people there. Their measuring rod for how they're doing spiritually is the own law that they give themselves. Well, I mean, that's really just such a joke, because if you start failing in one area of your law, what do? You just rewrite the law. You say, "Well, you know, I've picked up this habit that before I said was wrong, but now I'm going to justify it, rewrite my law, and I'm okay." I hope that makes sense. The other group of people there, it says they compare themselves among themselves. That means I'm not necessarily looking at my own law that I've written to see how I'm doing spiritually. I'm looking at how you're doing spiritually, and I'm comparing myself to how you're doing. Now listen, comparing yourself to people is a dangerous, dangerous, slippery slope. Whether it's your physical appearance. If you look in the mirror at your physical appearance and you begin to think, "Well, I'm not as pretty as," or I'm not as strong as," or "I'm not as handsome as," and you begin to compare yourself to all these other people, that's dangerous. That is a fast track to discontent with yourself. Now, there are areas in our life that it is probably good to compare ourselves to other people, in the sense that you may notice, since it's Father's Day, you may notice somebody and really admire them as a father and look at yourself and say, "You know, based on what I see that man doing, there's some things that I need to work on." Now, that can be a benefit to you, but typically we don't do it that way. So here, there's two warnings. Don't compare yourself to a law you've written. You compare yourself to God's law when it comes to spiritual things. And don't compare yourself to other people spiritually. Compare yourself to God's law spiritually. Now, if you look at Luke, the 18th chapter, here you get a beautiful picture of one guy that does it the right way and one guy that does it the wrong way. In Luke, the 18th chapter, in verse 9, this is a parable that the Lord speaks that, in my opinion, it really kind of coincides with Romans, the 10th chapter, when it talks about people that were going about to establish their own righteousness. It's a parable that fits very well with that, because he says, "He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others." Does that kind of go along with what we read in 2 Corinthians? It says, here are a people that trusted in what? In themselves, that they were righteous. And he says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And he says, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified," speaking of the publican, "this man went down to his house justified." And that word justified means there a display or a show of righteousness, to be declared righteous. So you could say, I tell you, this man went down to his house righteous rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. All right, what did the Pharisee do? All right, the Pharisee said, I'm going to do some self-examination. That's a great thing to do. You need to examine yourselves. Like Brother Tim has said many times, you look in the mirror before you came to church this morning and you examined yourself from a physical standpoint. You made sure as best you could the hair was in place and the dress looked right and the tie was on straight and blah, blah, blah. It's good to examine ourselves physically. It's even better to examine yourselves spiritually, to look in the mirror and say, where am I spiritually? Now, when you do that, the worst thing you can do is what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, is to examine yourself against yourself and to examine yourself and compare yourselves among other people. Because here's what the Pharisee does. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. He gets ready for some self-examination and he lines up a group of people over here to compare himself to. Well, who did he pick? He picked the extortioner. He picked the unjust, he picked the adulterer, and he picked the publican, which was a hated job and most of the time was done in deceit as a tax collector. So the Pharisee says, I'm going to get a lineup over here, and I've got four people, and I'm going to compare myself to these people. Well, I'm not an extortioner, I'm not an adulterer, I'm not a publican, and I'm not unjust. I'm doing pretty good. And then he has the nerve to lift up his eyes towards heaven and say, Lord, I'm doing very good spiritually. I know you must be proud of me and think I'm the greatest thing ever, because I'm not like any of these people over here. Look, I could go collect 10 45-year-olds that had zero athletic ability. And we could go out and see who could hit a baseball, and I could walk away being like, hey, I'm pretty good. But now I can't go get 10 45-year-olds that retired from the major leagues and walk away saying that. Pharisee picks the lowest of the low. And he uses them to compare himself and says, okay, I'm doing pretty good spiritually. But now the publican, when it's his turn to step up and self-examine, he doesn't pick a bunch of lowlifes beneath him, which there's always somebody better than you. There's always somebody lower than you. He could have found some people. He could have said, Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not like this murderer. I'm thankful that I'm not like this pedophile. I'm thankful that I'm not like this, this, and this. But he doesn't do that. What does the publican do? The publican clearly lays out God's word and God's standard, and he says, let me compare myself to that. And the only conclusion that any of us could come to, if we do what the publican did and compare ourselves to God's righteousness and God's holiness, is to hang our head and pound on our chest and say, all I can ask for is mercy. Because I've got nothing to lift up to you saying, hey, look how good I've done. Because the Bible says that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now, you also see Paul do this in Romans, the 7th chapter. He has the same mindset as this publican. And he says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would do, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. And then he goes on and he says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. And he goes on, and his conclusion after he examines himself is he says, O wretched man that I am. That's the same thing the publican said. You can read about it in Ezra, the 9th chapter. Ezra stands as a representative of the nation of Israel, and he says the exact same thing. As a matter of fact, the Bible, it tells us that it says that he blushed and could not even lift up his face to heaven and just begged for mercy. Well, you'll never get to that point if you compare yourself with your own law and you compare yourself with everybody else, spiritually speaking. Amen. You've got to look at the righteousness and the holiness of God to get to a point where you say, you know what? Everything that I want to do, I don't end up doing. And everything that I don't want to do is the very thing I end up doing. Have you ever had a situation where maybe you're going to go talk to somebody or you're going to, not with any intent, but you know, hey, I'm fixing to be in this person's company. And they just have a way of just really getting under my skin. And it's so hard for me to not kind of be a smart aleck with them or just be cold or hateful to them because I cannot stand the way they are. Maybe you say they are always bragging on something and I can't stand it. And so maybe you're riding down the road and you're thinking about this and you think, Lord, I'm going to go in there today and I'm going to be around that person and I'm going to love them and I'm just going to bathe it in mercy and I'm just going to have the biggest smile on my face. All right, that's what you want to do. But then you get around them, and after about 10 seconds, you're gritting your teeth and stomping your foot, and you're just kind of jabbing them with your comment. That's where Paul's at. Paul says, that's not what I want to do, but that's what I end up doing. And what I wanted to do when I just want to bathe that in kindness in the Spirit of the Lord, I don't ever do that. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel like you set out with incredible spiritual intentions and you fall flat on your face time and time again? Paul said he did. Well, why does Paul feel that way? Why does the publican feel that way? Because the standard they were comparing themselves to was God's standard and God's righteousness. Now, why is that important? Why is it important that we don't rewrite God's law and use that as our standard of whether or not we should or shouldn't feel convicted? Why do we not pick other people to compare ourselves to? Because if you're anything like everybody else, you're going to find people that are beneath you, maybe, you would say. Beneath you in their walk with God. And you're going to find the extortioner and the publican. You're going to find those people because that's human nature. And Satan will have deceived you and pat you on the back and say, hey, you're doing really good spiritually. Look, you're doing so much better than him. Satan will say to you, listen, you need to examine yourself spiritually. But when we do that, let me line up some people over here for you to do that against. Let me get you somebody to compare yourself to. And you'll walk away just skipping through the field of happiness, thinking that you are right where you need to be spiritually because you didn't compare yourself to the right thing. Now, why is this important? If you don't compare yourself to the right thing, chances are you will never really feel the sting of sin. And you'll never really walk around with any sense of conviction. If you don't have any conviction, and you don't really have a sense of, you know what, I am a sinner compared to God's word, how in the world can you ever appreciate salvation? How can you ever appreciate mercy if you don't think you need it? So when Paul says, don't compare yourselves to yourself, and don't compare yourselves to other people, he says that's not wise. The reason it's not wise is because there is a great blessing in feeling the conviction of sin. Amen. There is a great blessing in knowing that you have fallen short of the glory of God.
Right.
Because it's in those moments that drive us to do what the publican did.
Amen.
And bow down our heads and pound upon our breasts and say, Lord, have merciful to me, a sinner. And if that moment between the publican and the Pharisee, if eternal judgment had been based on this particular encounter, this particular situation, if God would have stood back and said, I'm fixing to watch the publican and watch the Pharisee, and I'm going to deal out eternal life, the Pharisee would have fallen in judgment. It's the publican that he said, in that humility and confession of sin, that I see righteousness. Thankfully, that was not the case. But if you want to embrace salvation and mercy and the Lord's long suffering and his faithfulness and his love, you need to compare yourself to God's righteousness. Because that is wise. Now, you don't walk around feeling, you know, beat down and crawling around on the ground moaning as a sinner all the time, because there is the joy of salvation. You need to never lose sight that you're a sinner. But you don't ever need to lose sight that you're redeemed. That's a balance. I hope that has been somewhat profitable to you.